Halehua Wind. It was during the Thanksgiving week that Hawaiian Electric announced it reached an agreement to purchase power from Euros Energy America under a deal involving land owned by the family of former Lieutenant Governor Tom Gill. Councilwoman Kimberly Pine released a statement yesterday afternoon expressing her concerns about the project. Earlier in the day, we'd sat down in our studios with Tony Gill and Hawaiian Electric's Peter Rozek to talk about the project. We start off with Euros Vice President Nick Hendrickson, who joined us for the conversation from San Diego.
The project itself is 13 wind turbines. It's located on a ridge above the Kahe power plant. It's going to be approximately 47 megawatts total. It'll produce about 150,000 megawatt hours of electricity on an annual basis, which is approximately the energy use that about 25,000 homes on Oahu use on an annual basis. And that represents about 3% of Oahu's total energy demand. We're happy that it's one of the lowest priced renewable energy projects to date for the state, and we're happy to be working with HECO to make it a success going forward.
Can you talk about the technology that you're using? How different will these wind turbines be from what we see either at Kahuku or anywhere else across the state?
These turbines that we're anticipating for the project are going to be 3.6 megawatt machines. They're going to be manufactured by one of the leading manufacturers in the world of wind turbines, a company called Vestas out of Denmark. They are going to be approximately 260 feet from the base of the tower to the hub, kind of the middle of the rotor. They're going to look similar to the turbines that you typically see both in the North Shore or elsewhere. The design of the turbines generally has kind of, from an appearance standpoint, has stayed pretty stable. They will be state-of-the-art, so there's been a variety of technological improvements in turbine technology over the last, 10 years that allow them to be more efficient at gathering the wind resource, more quiet, and just generally better for the purposes that we're using them for. But generally, they will look similar, to most eyes, to the turbines that you've seen in the North Shore and elsewhere.
Will there be any battery storage?
As of now, we're not anticipating any battery storage for the current agreement we have with HECO, but it's something that we could entertain if it's of interest going forward. But the current project does not anticipate any battery storage.
I bring that up because we did have that fire over in Kahuku.
You know, the technology's come a long way. That one was much more of an experimental nature, and I think things have come a long way since then. As Nick said, these are going to be state-of-the-art and the best technology available. In general, battery storage, energy storage has come a long way within just the last few years. 13 turbines is not going to obscure very much. And when we say the ridge over Kahe, they're not all going to be up on the very precipice of the ridge. There, you get to the top of the valley there, and then the land goes back in these rolling hills for some distance. So there will be some turbines visible without doubt, but this is not going to be one of those kind of forests of wind turbines like you might see even in California. There's some fairly dense wind farms, but this won't be like it. It'll be much more, I think, visible, like Kahuku, frankly. You can see a couple as you drive around. You see them from different angles, but can't pretend that they're not there, but they're not going to be a major factor in terms of visibility.
And Tony Gill, can you talk about the reason why your family is involved in this?
From our point of view, this is not an energy project. This is an ecosystem restoration project using energy sales as the financial keystone to do what we need to do to reverse 300 years of devastation.
And what's caused that devastation?
Oh, Lordy, that's a long discussion. If I had the opportunity to go back and be the helpful guy from the future and tell King Kamehameha to kapu the cattle differently, I would have done so. But all of the islands have suffered tremendous destruction from hoofed creatures, deforestation, cutting for sailing ships, sandalwood harvest, and so forth on down the line.
And what's the acreage up there?
Property is about 1,600 acres, give or take. And we have two kinds of situations to deal with. One is second growth forest put in by wise foresters trying to stop the erosion back in the early 1900s. And below that, there's continuing pasture land, which is pretty beat.
How do you stop the erosion with this project?
Well, anything that you do on land like that requires a lot of hand work, a lot of labor. If you're going to talk about reforestation, ask around, find out anybody who's tried to plant trees in the afternoon sun. There are jobs to be done, but they take generations to do, and people can't volunteer to do this. We can do some of the pioneering work, and we're very happy with our partnerships with Malama Learning Center, their outreach to even Kapolei High School, some university people, even HECO people have come up to take a look at this, and we're in the early stages of figuring out how to do it. But in order to go large, we need to hire people, clearly. If you're going to try to restore a Hawaiian forest in an area that's as devastated as this, your first job is to stop fire, because otherwise you spend a generation and it's gone in an afternoon. We've had several major fires in the last couple of years. People from that area will remember for sure. We have to create appropriate forestry roads, water. We have to create fences so that we can move the existing cattle as appropriate. We have to find a balance between the cattle that we have to eat down the grass that causes the fire load, be able to move them correctly so they don't overgraze. We have to be able to move people, trucks and planting equipment up and down. We have to create all kinds of things, fences, roads, erosion controls to stop what's washing away now, and so forth. A lot of detail work.
Catherine, I just want to say, I think we're very lucky here in Hawaii to have a family like the Gill family that has a lifetime and a multi-generational commitment to the environment here, that's willing to do work that will not pay off or not even begin to break even for perhaps a generation or more. The saying is the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today. And that's what this family is committed to doing. And that's why for us, it's a very welcome project. There's a lot of Hawaiian Electric facilities out on the Leeward Coast, as you know. And anytime we can be part of giving back to that community particularly, but to the whole island really. And there are just not that many organizations, institutions, families, or whatever that are willing to have that kind of long-range look, to look down to the next generation and the generation after that. So I think we're very, very fortunate to have a family like this that is willing to not just talk about the environment, but literally get their hands dirty with it.
We've seen on the North Shore with the Kahuku project, there was some pushback because I think that proposal, the most recent one, had very large turbines, I think 600 feet or so, and the community's just kind of processing the visual blight, and then also the issues about the native bat, the birds. The take is much larger than anybody expected.
There are always going to be trade-offs in any renewable project, whether it's solar, whether it's wind, whether it's geothermal, no question. And, I don't blame the Kahuku folks for a minute for being concerned about their community. The fact is, if we're going to get to 100% renewable energy here in the islands by 2045, we're going to have to do two things. One is to give up a little bit of our NIMBYism, and we're going to have a portfolio, not just one kind. We've been dependent on one source of energy for a long time. It's worked out till fairly recently, but now we've got to diversify, and wind has got to be there, solar's got to be there, biofuels, geothermal where it's available. And if the community doesn't want to go there, then they have to raise that issue with the legislature that passed the law and so forth. But we just got a huge report about climate change that should have scared the bejesus out of pretty much anybody. And what can we do about it here? We can get to renewable energy as fast as we can, and that's what this project is part of.
And Nick, can you talk about what you folks might be doing to minimize the take on the native bat and the native birds?
Yeah, so we've been trying to be pretty proactive about that. I know some of the issues that have come up on the projects on the North Shore came up relatively recently. As a result of kind of what we've learned and with the local environmental folks that we're working with to study the project that have also been involved in some of the studies recently on the North Shore, we've already started monitoring for bats at the site using telemetry devices that essentially listen for bat vocalizations or bat noises, if you will. So we've already been doing a substantial amount of data analysis and gathering at the site to try to figure out what's the best way for us to minimize any potential impacts to the bats or any other species of concern going forward.
And Tony, I don't know, what's your family's experience been? Have you seen bats up there?
Very few. I'd like to address Pete's point, though, if I might. People ask us, why wind? Isn't the thing big? And the answer is, yeah, they're big in proportion to the problem we're trying to solve. The people who are aware of what's coming and the severe challenges that the entire globe faces, the serious thinkers, not just people who have some irresponsible opinion, realize that we have very few choices. As a practical matter right now, we could choose to go with wind where it's available, and it is available there, and it's a good wind site. But the point I'd want to make is we can make enough power out of 13 turbines with probably less than an acre or two of footprint than you could with a very superior solar design that took up the entire populated area of Nanakuli Valley. And I'm not just talking roofs, I'm talking houses, driveways, schools. That's how efficient this is. And so a person who says, why wind, isn't it big? I say, yeah, it's big. The problem is big. The solution has to be proportionate. But what we are avoiding by doing this is paving over an area equivalent to the inhabited area of Nanakuli Valley with solar cells. So I think that's a reasonable trade. If you think that it's a trade not worth making, then it's somebody's obligation to say where that should go. What lovely, flat, ho'opili-like area should now be covered with solar cells in lieu of this? Bear in mind, it's a 2% to 3% contribution. The scale of the problem is immense on Oahu.
I guess there are varying communities who see these things springing up, whether it's massive utility scale solar farms like we have on the Waianae Coast, I think it's the Euros project there, or it's going vertical with the wind turbines.
Well, I wish I could tell you that in 1970 we had worked carefully to slowly cut off the use of oil and transformed ourselves, but we didn't. And so realistic people will deal with what we have on the ground today. Hawaiian Electric has done a very good job with their PSIP, and people should read it if they're interested.
PSIP?
Power Supply Improvement Plan, which is our overall plan for getting all of the islands in our service territory to 100% renewable by 2045. It's a plan, and it won't be exact, but it points the direction and says we have to have projects like this. We have to have the solar areas that are going into Waianae, Central Oahu, North Shore, a couple others on the neighbor islands. We have to do a lot. We hope to be at 30%. We will be at 30%, the milestone we're supposed to reach by 2020. But as you get closer and closer to the ultimate goal, it gets harder and harder. So this is a very substantial contribution. It's the last untapped viable wind resource on this island. This island has the huge population, all of the infrastructure of government and so forth, and rather limited opportunities for renewables of any kind. And so we can't depend on the neighbor islands either. We can't just say, let's put it all on Maui or the Big Island or Lanai or Molokai. We know that isn't going to fly. Every island, every neighborhood has to do its part, and it happens that with the North Shore and Kahuku, this is a wonderful wind resource, and no question it's going to be, you know, not everybody's going to love it, but after it's built and in service for a couple of years, I don't think people will say, oh, it's awful. It'll be just part of the landscape, and not an ugly part, I got to say. I mean, not everybody's a fan of wind turbines, but I think they're kind of majestic and beautiful, you know, slowly, you know, ramping around in the wind, and you know, they're getting us to a place where we need to go.
Unless you happen to be a bat, I guess. I guess maybe it's the lesser of the evils. Is it?
What choices do you really have?
Right, exactly.
That question.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you have a Kahi power plant with oil?
What do you want to do? Because right. If you're going to go off oil, you have two realistic choices right now: wind and solar. We don't have any obvious way to get to the 100%. We've said we will.
And what we haven't mentioned is this is. The price of this is really very, very attractive for Oahu customers. It is among the lowest, if not the lowest, in the state for per kilowatt hour of renewable energy. And, you know, that's a benefit that every single person on Oahu will appreciate and enjoy. So it is not just that it's a good project and a good place for a good cause. We're getting it at what for a customer is a bargain. So in that respect, we just see it as a win-win-win kind of project, notwithstanding the birds and the bats and...
Well, we're going to make more birds.
Okay. Well, and no, that's a good point. The Kahuku property, the developer there has offset the kill or the take with a donation to land, I think, that they're protecting in central Oahu.
We're going to, if we succeed in reconstructing something like a Hawaiian forest, we're going to expand our population of the native birds in the uplands. We're going to restore water inflow to the soil, which is currently put into the atmosphere by the eucalyptus species. We're going to protect the archaeology that we value. We've done original work up there that nobody else has reproduced anywhere.
Councilmember Kim Pine's reservations are about how the project might affect archaeological sites at Palihua Ridge, specifically a rock formation called a paw, used as a star guide in Hawaiian culture. Pine's office said the community raised the cultural concerns at a recent neighborhood board meeting, which had not been addressed in any follow-up, and so were caught by surprise by the recent announcement. Uros and the Gill family said they're committed that both the wind farm and reforestation needs to be respectful of those sites. The project will need environmental and cultural reviews, and Uros says it will work to address community concerns. The deal still needs approval from the Public Utilities Commission and will involve public input. If PUC approvals come next year, the project could be up by 2022.